And O thou who changes not, abide with me. You know, you and I are people that do not like change. And I can safely say that because I know most of you that are here this morning are people sometimes that resist change. No one likes it. You don't like to go to the doctor. And the doctor says, hey, you're going to have to change your eating habits, your lifestyle. There was a man one time who went to see his doctor. And the doctor looked at him and he said, you are in terrible shape. You've got to do something about it. He said, first of all, he said, I want you to tell your wife to start cooking more nutritious meals. Stop working like a dog. Also, inform your wife that you're going to make a budget and she has to stick with it. And have her keep the kids off your back so you can relax. And unless there's some changes that are made in your life, you will probably die within a month. The patient was astounded. And he said, my goodness, doctor. He said, that's awful. But he said, this would really sound more official if it were coming from you to my wife instead of me. Could you please call my wife and give her those instructions? Well, when the fellow got home, his wife rushed up to him and she said, I talked to the doctor today. And he said, you did? What did he say? He said, you were going to die within a month. Nobody likes to make changes in our world. But we are a people that have to make change. Sometimes people want to change and go back to the old lifestyle that they lived. And other people want to change their life and move forward in the direction toward God. It amazes me sometimes how people always talk about the good old days. You ever notice that? They never talk about the future and what might happen in the future and the good things that God can bring to pass in our life. But we often talk about the bad things that went on in previous years sometimes, but we talk about the good things, and you wish that things would just be like they were or the way they used to. And people find it very difficult to move from one location to another. It's really hard for us. And yet the Bible tells us repeatedly that change is a part of life, and we have to deal with change management in our life. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. There are some things, however, in the midst of our changing world that does not change. I want to talk about that this morning. I would tell you that in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter in verse 6, the Bible says, God speaking, I change not. Do you realize that God has always been, in the book of Psalms 90, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And God has always been, he will always be, and he does not change. Now, we live in a society today that undergoes change every day. People change their lifestyle. Their clothes change. Their diet changes. They change what they drive. They change where they live. Honestly, we are in a changing world. But in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17, the scripture says, every good and perfect gift is from the Father who does not change like shifting shadows. You ever noticed how a shadow will move over a period of time? The sun is shining at noon and that shadow is there a little bit, but before long you will see the shadow shifting a little bit, moving a little bit. Well, the Bible says that God doesn't change that way. For some reason or another, we have a lot of the change artists in our world spiritually who believe that God's divine book that we call the New Testament has changed. It has not. The Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 said that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He changes not. He will always be. The Word of God doesn't change. For in the book of Matthew 24 and 35, Christ said that heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word will not pass away. Christ is the same right now as he was yesterday, and he will always be the same as he is today. That word of God is sealed forever. It does not change. Sometimes people want to amend the word, but we read also in the book of Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't it great to know this morning that our faith is founded upon the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, and it does not change? It doesn't. We have some people that are more concerned about changing the Constitution of the United States today than they are about changing the Bible. And a lot of people say, well, you know, we just can't change the Constitution. But for some reason or another, the great Constitution of God, the Holy Scriptures, people are trying to amend. They're trying to ameliorate. They are trying to eradicate over and over again. If you really want to change your life, you must begin by changing your mind. Now, I know that's a difficult thing sometimes, but our mindset controls what we change in our life. Sometimes people say, well, I want to get rid of all these old bad habits. You know what you have to do? Change the mind. Change the mind. The Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ in all things. Philippians chapter 2. In the book of Mark 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You know what that word repent really means? If you were to read that in the ESV, or if you were to read it in maybe another translation of modern English, it would say, you must change your life. Might not use the word repent, but that's really what the word means. So when a person decides to come to God, he has to change his lifestyle. He has to give up those things that are wrong in the sight of God. But you know what? There's some things that people just do not want to give up. I appreciate people that want to make changes in their life. I would tell you that many of you have, and I commend you for it. There was a man who dialed the wrong number one time, and he got this following recording. It said, "I am not available right now." He said, "But I thank you for caring enough to call." He said, "I'm making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. And if I do not return your call, you will know that you are one of the changes." Well, in life, sometimes we don't like to change. We don't. But change is inevitable. The clock is ticking. It is. And by the way, I'm not going to hold you as long as I held you last Sunday morning. But let me ask you a question. When you talk about this idea of time changing, you hear people say that all the time. You know that times are changing. They may be, but there's some things that do not. Let me ask you, are you a Christian this morning? And if not, why not? That is a question that I could ask you repeatedly this morning. Are you a Christian? If you're not, why not? Why are you afraid of making changes that need to be made in your life? Sometimes people say, well, I'm just not going to become a Christian until I can live it. Let me tell you, first of all, that you don't come in the back door to Jesus. You say in a very positive way, and I've told you many, many times, I am a possibility thinker. I believe that you can live it. I think that what you say is, God, I want you to know that I need your help. I'm going to surrender my life unto you, and with your help, I can become all that you want me to be. If you are a Christian, but you reject Christ's teaching, then you are not a Christian. You can call yourself a Christian all day long. It's like illegal immigrants. We've been hearing a lot about those, immigration reform, and I hope and pray that our president can bring that to pass. But I will tell you one thing for sure. If you are an illegal immigrant, you are violating the law. And I'll tell you another thing. God doesn't have any illegal immigrants spiritually, now get what I'm saying, spiritually in his kingdom. Now, Let me explain that. There are some who claim to be Christians that are not Christians. There are some who say that they are children of God, but they have never given their lives to Christ. They have never acted upon their faith to be baptized for the remission of sin. And they are not living as God wants them to live. And they are someone who has tried to come in the back door and claim Christianity. And folks, it does not happen. I've told you many times, calling yourselves a Christian no more makes you a Christian than sitting in a hen house makes you a chicken. It doesn't. It's good to be a Christian and to know it, but it's better to be a Christian and show it. Don't be afraid to change for the better. You know, it amazes me sometimes how people have to be pulled and prodded to become Christians. You know what? If you have to pull people and twist their arm and coerce them, then you know what? They're not becoming a child of God. They're only doing what you want them to do instead of what God wants them to do. Change is something that we all have to experience. It is. And change is very positive. Every day we change, don't we? You know, people think that when they became a Christian, that all the changes that they were to make in their life have been made. That's not true. You and I have to make changes every day of our life, just like you change your clothes, just like you take a bath or you take a shower. You get rid of the dirt and the filth, and we have to go to God every day and say, God, I want you to forgive me of your sin. You need to turn your life off of autopilot and start living with intention. There are some things in life over which you have no control. I understand that. But some things only you can change. It's important to know that. And one of the happiest moments in life ever is when you really develop the courage. And I'm going to tell you something, this is important. When you can muster up the courage in your life to let go of what you cannot change. Most of our time is spent trying to change somebody else instead of trying to change ourselves. You know, life is like that, isn't it? We find ourselves a lot of times trying to change other people. Husbands trying to remake their wives, or wives trying to remake their husbands, or trying to redevelop and remake your children. You know what? There are some things that we have to accept. We do. There was a real estate agent one time who was trying to make a sale to a customer, and the salesman said, well, this house has both its good points and its bad points. He said, to show you how honest I am, he says, I'm going to tell you about the disadvantages first of all. He said, there is a chemical plant one block south and a slaughterhouse one block north. Now, how'd you like to live there? And the prospective buyer said, well, what are the advantages? And the real estate agent said, well, the good thing about it is you can always tell which way the wind is blowing. Which way is the wind blowing in your life? Is it blowing in the direction of God? Should be, shouldn't it? We need to let go of the things that we can't change and focus on the things that we can change. Think about the things in your life right now that need to be changed. And think about the things that only you can change. Somebody can't change about you, but you can change. You can make that change. You can. There are some things that must change in our life. I want us to deal with that. The first thing I want to point out this morning is that you are transient. You know what I mean by that? You're here for a while, and then you're gone. People come into town. They're here for a short time, and then they move on. They're kind of like pilgrims. The Bible describes them in that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. We are transient. People talk about transient people that come into their city and move on. You know what? You and I are transient. We're not here forever. Don't we sing that old song, "This World's Not My Home"? And it isn't my home. We talk about our home being in heaven. That's where the home really is, isn't it? And Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change. Matthew 4 and verse 17. Now, Christ said it this way in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter and 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. He says you can't vacillate back and forth. I'm a Christian today, a non-Christian tomorrow. He says you have to change and you have to be genuine about the changes that you must make in your life. You can't say one thing and then do another. For actions and your statements have to be on the same side of the fence. Again, let me ask you the question. Are you a Christian? Who acknowledges Jesus with your lips, but you deny him by your actions? You are not a Christian, and you're only a liar. Let me tell you something else that's important for all of us to know, and that is this. Attending church every Sunday does not make you a Christian. How you live your life outside the confines of these walls right here and off of the pews tells the whole story. It is a lifestyle that needs to be developed. In Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites are, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's like people sometimes who rejoice over the evil things of the world, and yet they enter into the edifice on Sunday morning with that very holy, pious look. And God says, we're nothing more than those who are given to hypocrisy. But thou, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, he says, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. I would rather be known in life as an honest sinner than a lying hypocrite. For the book of Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's why we all have to repent. That's why we all have to experience change. That's why I'm talking about change this morning, is because all of us need it in our life. I'm sure there's some things that you need in view of the fact that you're transient. But there's something else I want you to know or ask. What does your future hold? What does your future really hold? Do you really know? Are you confident about your future? Do you know that if you were to suddenly leave this world, and some have left this world recently, very abruptly, very quickly. I've had friends. I had a dear friend that passed away up near Emory, Texas, who actually, on the Point Operas, many of us have been there, Joe Ben Kaysen, and he parted from this life very quickly. And I'm going to tell you something. Life is like that. We change, do we not? What does your future hold? Life goes on even when you die. That's not the cessation of life. For some reason, we get this thing that, you know, life is over, and we walk by and we look into the face of the deceased, and sometimes we say, well, didn't they do a good job? It's not didn't they do a good job, but didn't the deceased do a good job? Did they do a good job? Did they make changes that needed to be made in their life? Were they genuine? Were they really children of God? Sometimes it behooves us to pull the curtain back and try to envision our future, where we're going when life is over here. What is it really going to be like? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to continue my sermon tonight on life after death. I hope you'll be here. I have a number of things that I want to say. I couldn't do that sermon in just about 40 minutes or even 30 minutes. You know what? I don't like preaching sermonettes to Christianettes. I don't like doing that. But I modified it where I could preach the rest of that sermon tonight, and I hope you can. We're going to talk about the future tonight. What is your body going to be like in heaven? You ever wondered about that? Well, for some of you, I hope it's going to change. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Let me say it again. It is appointed unto man once to die. That is an appointment of God. It is. Now, God didn't want that in the beginning. Did you know that? In the beginning, God made all things great, all things wonderful. It was a literal utopia in the Garden of Eden. But man sinned against God, and because man sinned against God, then God gave an appointment to all men. The Bible says that death hath passed on all men. All people die, but all in Christ are made alive. After you die, you will meet your God if you have not met Him here. In Psalms 139:16, King David said, "You saw me before I was born." Isn't that amazing? You're no accident. People talk about the fact that I'm an accident. You're no accident. You know, people say that about me. I used to say that. My father was told by the doctor many, many years ago that you will never father children. Boy, was my father surprised. But you know what? A lot of other people were surprised. But God had other plans. God had plans for me before I was born. And He saw me before I was born. And every day of my life, David said, was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out, being a single day had passed, before a single day had passed. Isn't that amazing? You are right now where God put you. We are eternal beings. Genesis chapter 2. The Bible says, God speaking, "Let us make man in our own image. And in the image of God created He man." Let me ask you another question this morning. Do you really want to go to heaven? Everybody talks about how they want to go to heaven. They don't even know. Most people don't even know what heaven's about. They just don't want to go to hell. And boy, if I can just stay out of hell, it don't make any difference what heaven's like. But you know what? The Bible says it's never entered into the mind of man the glory that God shall reveal in us. But thirdly, what happens to me if I'm not a Christian when I die, last of all, this morning? You know, that's a sobering thought too, isn't it? Well, I think most of us know the answer to that, if we have any Bible knowledge at all. What happens to me if I'm not a Christian? If the Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians that God is coming, Christ is coming with His holy angels to judge the world. "To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ." Doesn't that answer it? That's what He says. Those that know not God and obey not the gospel of Christ will receive the vengeance of an immortal, a living, eternal God. One man said that some people change only when they see the light. Others only change when they feel the heat. I'm afraid that is true at times, isn't it? You and I are on a journey to eternity right now. Did you realize that? We're on a journey. We haven't reached our destination. It's like you get in your car and you're going somewhere. And you know what? This is the journey. Our journey leads to eternity. It does. And isn't it time to start that journey with God? We have to dust ourselves off, don't we? If you fall, then God says, dust yourself off. Start again. Start all over. I've told you before, the church is not a rest home for saints, but a hospital for sinners. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all need nurturing. We all need loving care by the great physician, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have to make changes in our life for the better, because someday we will die. And you know what? We can make changes with God's help. We can. Just because you don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way. You know, one of the great things about God, and we talk about the memory of people, you know, how people can remember certain things. I don't know how good your memory is this morning, but a lot of us have great memories. We really, really do. And there are a lot of things that we can remember. And, listen, I'm just so thankful that memory is one gift of God that death does not take away. Matter of fact, he challenged a man to remember in the book of Luke chapter 16. I've always heard that elephants actually have great memory. How many of you have ever heard that? You ever heard that? Yeah. There was a story told about Lawrence Anthony. I don't know if you know who he is, but there's a story told about him in South Africa. And he really was referred to as the elephant whisperer. He bravely rescued wildlife and rehabilitated elephants of all things over the globe from human atrocities in life, including courageous rescues of animals from the Baghdad Zoo. You remember back in 2003 when the U.S. invaded Iraq? And on March the 7th in the year 2012, Lawrence Anthony died. He is remembered and missed by his wife and his two sons, his two grandsons, and believe it or not, numerous elephants. Let me tell you the story. 2 days after his passing, these wild elephants showed up at his home, led by two matriarchs. Separate wild herds arrived in droves to say goodbye to their beloved man friend. A total of 31 elephants had patiently walked over 112 miles to get to his South African home. And witnessing this spectacle, humans were obviously not the only ones to mourn the passing of Lawrence Anthony. Because of the supreme intelligence and the precise timing of these elephants, they sensed about Lawrence's passing, but also because of the profound memory and emotion the beloved animals evoked in such an organized way. Slowly walking for days, making their way in a solemn one by one from their habitat to his house, Lawrence's wife, Frances, was especially touched, knowing that the elephants had not been to his house prior to that day for well over 3 years. But yet they knew where they were going. The elephants obviously wanted to pay their deep respects, honoring their dear friend who saved their lives. So much respect that they stayed 2 days and two nights without eating anything. Then one morning, they left, making their long journey all the way back home. You know, something in the universe is tremendously greater and deeper than human intelligence. Aren't you glad this morning that God, and I really believe this, in heaven, when a Christian dies, God honors the death of that Christian. Now let me tell you why. David said in Psalms 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." I believe in heaven. Let me tell you something. If God knows when a bird falls to the ground, he knows when we die. And what happens is that our body is interred in the heart of Mother Earth. and our spirit returns unto the God who gave it. I hope this morning that you have made the necessary changes that need to be made in your life. And I will tell you for sure, as it is before you even now, just because you don't see a way doesn't mean God doesn't have a way. He does. Don't worry. God says, I will always make a way for you. And when we face the floodwaters of life like the Israelites did many, many years ago, I can tell you, God will part those waters. He makes a way of escape. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that we're not to neglect that way of escape. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian and you've not made the changes that need to be made in your life, then I can tell you that the next step for you, if you are a believer in Christ and you have made the change in your action, will you change your relationship this morning in the act of baptism? Will you become a child of God? For the Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27 says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For it is many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's what it's all about. Eternity is before you this morning. Your future, as we have said, is before you. What does your future hold? Where will you be when life is over? And if you were to die today, do you know where you're going? There is one question that we must all answer. If I died tonight, let me say it again. If I died tonight, where will I spend eternity? Where will you spend it? Where will you be? People on earth hate to hear that word. I know it. The word repent, change. But those in hell will wish that they could hear it just one more time. Just one more. And so there's a choice before you this morning. There is. A choice to change and become a Christian and go to heaven, or a choice to stay right where you are, resist change, resist God, and lose your soul in a devil's hell. There is no second chance after death. None. What would you do with Jesus if the judgment is coming? If it is coming, where would you be? Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Appointed unto man once to die, and after judgment. But after this, the judgment. Isn't it time for a change this morning? Isn't that really what you want to embrace this morning? God's opened the door for you to change. There is a fountain free. God is letting the water flow this morning and the blood flow from heaven for those who will accept Him. And may you come to Jesus right now, just as you are. Where will you spend eternity? Let us stand and let us sing.